cheese. You put it on anything and it tastes a lot better, but my next guest has researched this, New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Neil Barnard, and finds that you may want to rethink that plan. The book, his brand new book, The Cheese Trap, How Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthier. Dr. Neil Barnard on WILS. Dr. Barnard, great to have you here.
Well, it's good to be with you today.
Yeah. Now, I should know, you believe that a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet for humans, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And I have to say, this is not at all the way I was raised. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and I come from a long line of cattle ranchers, but we started doing studies, particularly with people with diabetes and weight problems, mm-hmm. and we found that when people are really eating their vegetables and fruits and beans and whole grains and setting the animal products aside, they do remarkably well, and we began to see something that I had never seen when I was in medical school, mm-hmm. which is cases of diabetes disappearing.
Well, I'm curious about your health, though. The way you grew up and the food you ate, were you a healthy person?
Was I a healthy person as a child, you mean?
Well, growing up and eating the diet you were eating, I'm guessing plenty of meat also, right?
I had a job at McDonald's when I was a kid, serving up French fries and burgers and all kinds of things, kind of like pretty much like everybody else.
Uh-huh. So at what point do you suddenly change your views on food?
One day, I was working at Fairview Hospital in Minneapolis, and this was the beginning of it. This was before I was funded to do these research studies that I mentioned. But I was the autopsy assistant. In other words, I hadn't gone to medical school yet, but I would help out the pathologist when he would examine the bodies. There was a guy who had died in the hospital of a massive heart attack, mm-hmm. probably from eating hospital food, but that's another story. Anyway, the pathologist cut a big section of ribs off the front of the chest, set them on the table. And he said, look here, look at the coronary arteries. And I had gloves on, so I would feel inside, and it was like concrete. And he said, Neil, that's your bacon and eggs. That's what cholesterol will do. Mm-hmm. And I was really quite stunned to see this. And the arteries to the brain, which we call the carotid arteries, also had the atherosclerotic changes. Anyway, at the end of the exam, he left the room, and I had to clean up. So I put the ribs back in the chest and sewed up the skin and cleaned everything up. And then I went up to the cafeteria where they were serving ribs for lunch. And I have to tell you, I didn't become a vegetarian on the spot, but I could not eat that. It looked like a body, and of course it was a body.
Wow.
And then after that, in the years that followed, I began actually to do clinical trials. And in the course of these studies, we found something interesting.
Yeah.
Although people on a totally plant-based diet, they do great. Their cholesterol levels fall, they lose weight, their diabetes improves, and sometimes it even goes away. But I found that a lot of people would crave cheese. Not ice cream, not milk, not yogurt, specifically cheese. That's what they kind of missed when we took it out of their diet. So I wanted to see what was that about.
And I wrote the
Cheese Trap to do that.
The book is The Cheese Trap, the author, New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Neil Barnard. So I want to get to the point of the addictive aspect of cheese. What makes cheese addictive?
Probably three things. And everyone has sort of a little bit different definition of it, but the easy things to understand are it's very salty. If you know, people like potato chips because they're salty. Well, cheddar cheese or other kinds of cheese have more salt than potato chips do. Mm-hmm. Velveeta has two or three times as much salt in an ounce per ounce serving. But it's also fatty, and the fatty-salty combination is what gets us hooked on onion rings and French fries. But the third thing is that there are opiate chemicals in the dairy protein. They're called casomorphins, and they're not artificial chemicals. The cow makes them, and they get into the protein, and mm-hmm. when you digest the milk protein, they're liberated, and they go into your brain and attach to the same receptors that heroin would attach to.
It's interesting you say that, because I've heard that from the other side, you know, the low-carb folks. They say that's sugar. They say sugar is the thing that does that. Are you saying sugar and cheese are similar in that way, or...?
That's a really great point. There are lots of things that people have discovered along the way that people can get hooked on. Somebody figured out that you can ferment grain and make alcohol, and that will affect the brain. You can burn tobacco leaves, and that will affect the brain. Mm-hmm. You can brew coffee, and that will affect the brain. And the difference, though, is that some of these things are bad for you and others maybe less so. For example, you can clearly be addicted to coffee, but whether that really does any harm is a pretty good question. But but cheese, if you're kind of hooked on that, your average American consumes 60,000 calories worth of cheese every year.
That's
and I think it's one of the biggest contributors to weight gain.
So are you saying people go through withdrawal if they don't have their cheese?
They go through. They often crave it for a while. But what really grabbed me, my attention, was hormones. If you're, let's say you're feeding your son some macaroni and cheese or grilled cheese sandwich, you might not be aware that the cow that produced that milk was pregnant and was releasing estrogens into the milk that are concentrated in the cheese. And we were really not thinking about this until fairly recently. Mm-hmm. But when you realize that cows are impregnated every year and they are the milk cows are pregnant 9 months out of the year, and toward the end of their pregnancy, they're cranking out quite a lot of estrogen. And researchers in Rochester, New York, found that sperm counts were affected, male fertility. Among those people they checked out who had the highest cheese intakes, they had the least fertility.
Because of the estrogen in the milk of the cheese, you're saying?
The estrogens are made in the cow's body, and they're secreted into the milk. And then when you take milk and you make cheese out of it, that concentrates the fat much more, and the estrogens appear to go along with the fat.
But here, let me ask you this, Dr. Barnard. We've been eating cheese for so many generations, right? Thousands and thousands of years. How is it that it could be so bad if it's been such a staple in the human diet?
Well, it hasn't been. In 1909, if you think about your great-grandfather's time or your grandfather, in 1909, the average American did not eat much cheese. It was less than 4 pounds in a year. And the big rise in cheese wasn't until maybe the 70s and 80s and 90s when pizza became popular and the amount of cheese increased. So today, we're not eating less than 4 pounds a year. Your average American is consuming 35 pounds of it per year. And so you think, all right, why are Americans heavy? You know, if you look around the newsroom and you look at the weights that people have, sugar consumption has been falling since 1999. But cheese is going up. And just ask your friends, is your weight going up or is it going down or
question we're all getting heavier, but I need to bounce.
Well, we're not all getting heavier. Heavier. In research studies, we change people's diets. We take the cheese and meat out of it, and then they slim down and feel great. And their diabetes, in some cases, goes away. But on the other hand, people feel like, well, that's a big change for me. These are the foods I'm used to. So the cheese trap was also written to show people things they would like better.
So do you eat no cheese at all, period?
I stopped it completely, yeah. And I have to say, for me, I did two things. I quit smoking, and I also stopped eating the animal products. And you know which one was harder? Stopping the smoking was much, much harder because there's not really a good substitute for it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm eating a dairy-based cheese and I switch to a vegan cheese, or if instead of grilled cheese sandwiches I have a hummus sandwich, you know, those are okay substitutes. And I can show you how to make a bang-up great ravioli or lasagna without the cheese.
Well,
so
that's a great point.
What are the changes you can make?
One thing, Dr. Neil Barnard with us, this is WILS. The book, the brand new book, is The Cheese Trap. So, Dr. Barnard, one thing I hear from the other side, the low-carb folks, is they say the soy products are horrible for you. Stay away from them. They, in fact, affect estrogen levels in men, reduce testosterone, all these things. Is that, give me your take on that.
Yeah, that's actually not true. What they are referring to, and you'll see this all over the internet, back in 1921, compounds were found in soy products and some other plants too. They're called isoflavones. And they're not estrogens, but they look similar to estrogens chemically. So people imagined, well, they must be estrogens, they must cause problems. So, and the big fear was that a woman would get breast cancer from eating soy. So that's been put to the test, and we now have many, many studies, and they all clearly show that if a woman consumes more soy products, I'm speaking of soy milk or tofu, her risk of developing cancer is not higher. It can be as much as 30% lower than if she's not consuming soy. And a woman who had cancer in the past, if she consumes soy products now, she can cut her risk of recurrence by about 30% too. Let me be clear. I'm not telling people they have to eat soy or soy milk or whatever, or tofu. They can if they want to, but it does not appear to cause cancer. If anything, it helps prevent cancer.
Let me ask you,
but on the other hand,
because in the book you talk about the migraines, headaches, and the connection to cheese. What is that connection?
Yeah, I had a law student who came in to a study we were doing. She had, you know, migraines like a sledgehammer, and it's pulsating. And she was a law student. She couldn't study. The headaches lasted all night long. And the test was to see if a plant-based diet would help. And we took all the dairy out, all the meat out, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And her migraines have vanished. They have never returned. And we have seen this. I don't think this is going to cure everyone, but I do think that it helps many people with any kind of what I'm going to call a sensitivity. That's migraines. If your listeners have sore joints, rheumatoid arthritis particularly, that's an autoimmune reaction where something is triggering it, and that something in many cases appears to be the dairy protein. So don't take this on faith. Just give it a try for, I say, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Get the animal products out of your diet and just see how you feel. But to make it easy on people, the Cheese Trap gives you recipes and a path forward.
You know, because I don't have a philosophical position on food, but I know there are these two very clear sides now. The low-carb folks, many appear to be quite healthy, and they've researched their side. They say grains are the problem, sugar's the problem. On your side, you're saying it's the animal products that are the problem. How is it that both sides can somehow have healthy outcomes?
You just back up a step and take a look at the big picture. In Japan, back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, they were the thinnest, longest-lived people on the planet. What were they eating? A rice-based diet, predominantly with vegetables, relatively little meat, no dairy. When the fast food chains came in, they traded away their rice, and they started eating meat and cheese, and they've become heavy. Their diabetes rates and cardiovascular disease has escalated dramatically. With regard to sugar, if sugar isn't health food, don't get me wrong, sodas should be thrown away. But Americans have been cutting sugar consumption steadily since 1999. Mm-hmm. And if sugar was the reason we're fat today, we should have been slimming down for the past 20 years. So look at the cheese. It's not the only bad food. People eat a lot of bad stuff. But cheese is something you eat an enormous amount of. It's got hormones, lots of salt, lots of fat. Break away from it. See if you don't feel better. Do the same thing for your spouse and your kids, and you can revolutionize the health of your family. If somebody's got diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, give them a hand. See if they can't do better.
And look, why not give it a shot? That's my thought. I mean, it's always worth trying something, changing something. If you do the same thing every time, nothing's going to change. Dr. Neil Barnard, New York Times bestselling author, his very latest book, you'll learn something from it, no matter what your perspective. The Cheese Trap. The Cheese Trap. How breaking a surprising addiction will help you lose weight, gain energy, and get healthy. Dr. Neil Barnard here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Dr. Barnard.
Thank you. Yep.